Alrighty then, another episode of Breakpoint. Today, automated load testing, but actually it's automated testing all up.
Load testing kind of is automated.
Right.
Yeah.
So now, before you're all like, hey, okay, we talked about testing before, and we've talked about it this way, and we did also user interface testing, so we've talked testing a lot.
Yep.
Okay, the difference was that all of that was manual.
Yeah, we did a session, I think it was a little over a year ago.
Right.
Where we talked about manual testing.
Manual testing.
Yeah, so we talked about all the various different tools within Visual Studio that help you do manual testing, how you can manage your manual tests through, you know, TFS.
Yep. It's all coming back to me. And by the way, you have the link at the bottom there, just to make sure that if you didn't watch that episode, that would be a good time.
Yeah.
Now, of course, Paul and I have grown up since then.
Older, grayer.
Yeah, I was going to say a little bit grayer, a couple more wrinkles here and there. But
yeah.
Point being, as we have grown and developed, so has the tool set.
It has.
You see that linkage?
Yeah.
So today, we're going to take some of those older concepts of manual testing and then use that as the segue into automated testing.
Yeah, and there's a few different types of automated tests. Load testing is one of them. We'll talk a little bit about that.
We'll
also talk about coded UI testing.
Nice.
And work from there.
Let's do it.
All right.
Let's do it.
So.
Dig deep.
It's a slide that I think I've used this on Breakpoint before, but I'm going to use it again.
Yes.
Because I think
it's so true.
It is, right? So the idea behind software is not that people want to use it. They want to have used it. And what I mean by that is that software is a tool.
Yep.
Right? Software is not the end state. It's basically a tool to help you get to a decision or to the right data points or whatever it is that
you
need.
You say it's a tool. I say it's an experience.
Okay, fine, experience. But it's, you know, the saying is, it's not the destination, it's the journey, right? You know, all that kind of stuff. Well,
and then they say tomato, tomato,
yeah,
schedule.
I say it's the destination.
Fine, I say
it's the destination.
What Paul says
is
what goes, on Breakpoint at least.
Nah. All I'm saying is that chances are, if you're working in front of a PC and you're doing something, you know, you may have fun using the software. That's not to say you don't have fun using it. It's just saying that there's a reason why you're using it, and it's to get to that end state, right?
Yes.
So to get to that end state, you have to have good software.
Well, you don't have to,
but let's put it this
ideally
way.
Ideally, you would have to, but...
It is a better experience, as
See,
you would say,
I, thank
if
you, I
you
knew
get
it was
to that the right way. So this really is the crux of why we do testing, to make sure that software is at a quality level that is appropriate for you as an end user, or to your end users, as if you're a developer or a tester or
With
a stakeholder.
One qualification in there.
Yeah.
Each and every time. So as you do your updates, as you release new versions, whatever.
Absolutely.
That statement is not one of those things where it's kind of like you said it the first time and you kind of, okay, well, you've met it, check.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. It's one of those things that it has to continue coming every time a new version comes out.
You got it. So good point. Good point. So, I mean.
You have me here for a reason.
Well, yeah.
See, he doesn't even use that as an opportunity to give some sort of compliment back or whatever. He just says, well, yeah.
No, I enjoy my time here. Every time we come into the studio, I enjoy this.
It's not about the studio, by the way. It's about talking to you guys, which is what he actually meant.
I have fun doing this.
It's all good.
It's fun. Okay, let's continue. So let's talk about why test.
Why test?
Why do you test? You tell me.
Well, so like why I said, so that you can deliver on quality each and every single time.
Yes. Tony, why do we test?
For debugging.
For debugging, he says. That's actually one way to do testing.
There you go.
Good job. You were listening
Clearly
to the previous
episode.
Yeah. So, Tony, by the way, is our producer. He's awesome.
And does a wonderful job,
yes,
too.
Yes. So why test? Well, there's a good reason. It's kind of both, right? So if you think about it, you may have seen this. I use this slide in the manual testing thing as well.
Yeah, that's old news already, dude.
So the Mars Climate Orbiter, you may have heard of this. Like, my son is big into Mars rovers. Like, You say, okay, well, can you name all the Mars rovers? Well, it's Sojourner, it's Curiosity, it's Spirit, it's Opportunity, the Pathfinder component to it. There was the Viking landers, you name it.
And he's six, right?
And he's six, yeah. So he's all into this. So he loves this. Even though he never saw this, he never actually, you know, got to see this. There's a reason why. Well,
he was part of the testing team for the Mars rovers.
Well, there was a problem with testing. So the Mars Climate Rover, if you're not familiar with it, was a, well, it's not a rover, the probe, I should say. It was an orbiter. is basically this thing that NASA, or no, it wasn't NASA, it was, yeah, it was NASA, sorry, that basically sent off this orbiter with the intent of actually bringing it to, you know, do some surveying of the planet. The problem was, is they didn't actually do enough testing, or they omitted a current kind of testing, and that was basically when they were doing their testing, they were doing it in imperial units instead of metric units. So,
of course,
you know, whenever it was supposed to do its air braking, I can't remember the exact scenario, but basically what happened was they lost contact with it, and then they were going, okay, well, we didn't get contact back, so what went wrong here? Well, the reason why is because somebody was using imperial, yep. You know, so miles per hour or miles and, you know, all those types of things or all that kind of stuff, or pounds or whatever, instead of using metric. And the calculations or the actual, you know, the equations that were being used were taking into account metric,
sure.
not imperial units. So it actually burned up in the atmosphere. So...
sad.
That was a $125 million oopsie.
You know.
Yeah.
It happens. Yeah. Happens to the best, but...
So, it's unfortunate, because I think it would have been an interesting mission to see the information back, but this is just goes to show you how important testing is.
Of course.
Right? So, so definitely keep that in mind. So, what do we provide as part of Visual Studio? Well, there's lots of different test capabilities, and this is a very busy slide. We're not going to talk about every single component. But what we are going to talk about is some of the automated test capabilities. So we talked earlier, around a year and a half ago in a previous episode, which you'll have the link to, on the manual testing component. So
yep.
we went deeper into that kind of stuff. So we'll leave that be. We're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the automated component. So really what we're talking about when we talk about automated testing, there's two kinds of automated testing that I'm going to talk about today. There's also unit testing. I'm going to leave that out for today. The reason why is... we'll probably do another episode on Breakpoint 4 unit testing and things like that as well. But the two types of testing that I want to talk about today is load testing and coded UI testing, which is basically user interface testing.
Right. Automated versions of those, because they can be done manually also.
Well, exactly, right? So what I you can see here all the various different things that we have provisioned as part of this. The thing that I'm going to spend on load testing is I'm not going to talk about on-premises load testing. I'm actually going to talk about load testing as it pertains to using Microsoft Azure to generate your load. And cool. It's actually quite easy to do, and we'll talk a bit about that. The coded UI testing is basically the area where you do automated testing to go through certain steps of your UI and things like that to make sure certain components are available and things like that. Does that sound fair?
Yeah.
All right, so let's actually get to it. And... we'll get out of PowerPoint, so yay for that. And we're going to go to File, New Project. And what I'm going to do first, just to show you, is I'm going to talk about load testing. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a load test. And then what we'll do from that standpoint is we're going to let it run.
Okay.
And we'll get onto the into the coded UI test while that thing runs.
Cool.
Sound good? Okay, so in order to do load testing within Visual Studio, you need the top-level SKU. Of Visual Studio. So for Visual Studio 2015, that's the Enterprise SKU. So if you have Visual Studio 2015 Enterprise Edition, you get load testing. If you're on 2013 or below, it's basically the Ultimate Edition that gives you that. Now, just a little bit of non-technical stuff. I'll talk a little bit about licensing because I think this is important, is because our load testing strategy is very different than a lot of our competitors. And the fact that load testing is a pretty high value sort of scenario for, you know, development and test. And a lot of our competitors treat it in a way that is, you know, it's very, very expensive to set it up. And typically a lot of our competitors do things in the terms of you have to buy virtual user packs. So you're going to buy a set of 250 virtual users as a virtual user pack so that you can add that to your load test and whatever else. And those virtual user packs tend to be pretty expensive and those types of things. Well, with Visual Studio, the way we do it is if you have one license of Visual Studio Enterprise or Ultimate, depending on the year version of it that you have, if you have one license for that, you can do unlimited load testing on premises. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Right? So yeah. The way it's set up, if you're doing things on premises with load testing, basically you set up a controller machine and you set up agent machines to distribute the load. And typically...
right.
one machine can run around 250 virtual users. So you basically set a controller machine, then 250 users, virtual users, 250 virtual users, 250 virtual users, et cetera, et cetera. But it's still one license. You basically install that Visual Studio Ultimate or Enterprise Edition on those machines from a single license, and you're covered, and you're good to go. Okay.
But simple enough.
The problem with that is that if you've ever done load testing on premises, you know it can be a little tricky, right? What's called that sort of test set of virtual machines or physical machines that you sort of set up, it's called test rig, and they are, you have to maintain them, you have to patch them, you know, as, you know, the operating system is patched and stuff like that. It's expensive because typically they're not used all the time, so that, you know, they're just sitting around doing nothing, and then you use them whenever you need them. Which is fine. That's fine. But you also have to worry about things such as network isolation. So when you create your load on your network, you want to make sure that that load isn't going to affect, you know, line of business applications like corporate email or something like that as well. So all sorts of considerations that you have to keep into account. Well, what we've done is we've actually added the capability within Visual Studio Team Services, which is our online version of Visual Studio application lifecycle management capabilities. Including version control and work item management and testing and release management and all those types of things, build as well, there is a load testing capability. And so basically we're going to talk about that, but first I'm actually going to create a load test right in here first. So I'm going to go to File, New Project, as you would typically would for any project within Visual Studio. And you see here I'm in the test area. So in the test area for Visual Studio, and you can do this in C# or in Visual Basic. I choose C# because that's what I prefer. As you can see, this web performance and load test project. So I'm going to click on that. We'll just call it by default whatever it is. It happens to be Test Project 3. I can add it to source control if I wanted to, so that, you know, as your project or as your system evolves, you can evolve your load test as well to support that. But I'm just going to leave it out of source control for the sake of this demo. Click OK. And it's basically going to set up the template, so we'll just wait for this to show up. Actually, while we're waiting for this to show up, I'm actually going to go to Visual Studio. So I'm going to go to my Visual Studio Team Services instance. So this is basically, if you're familiar with Team Foundation Server or TFS, this is basically TFS as a service if you're not familiar with it. We did a session on this earlier, actually, on Visual Studio Online when it used to be called
that. Yeah, I was just going to say, so point out there.
Yeah.
This is now Visual Studio Team Services,
which is actually a better branding, but that's a conversation for another point.
But in case you're like, oh, that remarkably looks like something else, yes, it does look like Visual Studio Online.
Yes. So you may notice something here, that if you're signed in with your MSDN subscription associated with that enterprise SKU of Visual Studio or Ultimate, you'll notice here that you have this area right here. Oop. Okay, that was the wrong one. Let's try that. It's the load testing. So 1,000 of 20,000 virtual user minutes. So as part of your benefits for MSDN for Ultimate and Enterprise is you get 20,000 virtual user minutes to run for free any load testing. And
nice.
It recycles every month. You can't carry over unused minutes, but you basically get 20,000 virtual user minutes every month. So I can create a 20,000 virtual user load test for 1 minute, for example, over that, or, you know, whatever sort of combination of that. If you need more virtual user minutes than what you are given as part of your credit, you can buy them for, I don't remember the exact amount, but it's actually really, really cost effective. And the reason why I say that is, yes, there is a cost associated with that, but you don't have to worry about maintaining that test rig on premises and, you know, all the costs associated with that. So there's that. Now, what's interesting, before we actually go to creating the load test in Visual Studio, there is the ability to do a load test directly from Team Services here. So you can see here that we have this load test area. Now, this load test area basically allows me to create a simple load test. So if I click on this, see here, I've created a whole bunch already. I can create a new load test. And here you say, for example, what's the home page in this case? So I could say, for example, what is my web app? You know what? I'll start up another web app because I don't want to destroy what I'm doing. So the QA one. Okay, we'll start that up. I'll copy the link. So I'll say, for example, this is where we want to go. So this just happens to be an Azure website that I've created. It's just an MVC website, whatever. call it whatever. So I'm going to say this is a QA load test, for example. You can also set up where the load is actually going to be located. So in each of the data centers that are available within Microsoft Azure. So here are the ones that support load test. So you can see everywhere from US to Europe to Asia and things like that. So I'm going to use Virginia as ours, for example. And here you can say I'm going to start up and I'm going to create a load of 25 virtual users. Let's say 100 virtual users. We'll do it for 1 minute, okay, just for the sake of time. The think time in between requests we'll say is 1 second. And there's also a preset sort of default of, you know, mix of different browsers. So in this case, we could say IE 60% and Chrome 40%. We'll just leave it like that. Now we can run the test. And it's going to run, so we'll just let this up. So you can see here that is queued. And basically what's happening at this point is that the Visual Studio Team Services service, as you can see, is acquiring resources now. This will actually set up the virtual user load for me. So it's acquiring it's setting up the rig in the cloud for me without me doing anything. And it's basically going to push that virtual user load to that URL that I set. Okay, so that's all well and good if you just want to do a ping test type of a load test. You know, you're just going to make sure that that website URL is up and running, yep, and it runs fast and all that kind of stuff. But if you want to do something that's a little bit more complicated or more involved, that's where Visual Studio comes in. So that's where you're going to actually create your virtual user test right here. So if I go here, you can see we've already created the template. And as you can see here, that there's a few things that are provided as part of it. So you get this thing called a web test. Now you can create more than one web test. Now web test is a scenario that you're going to use for your testing. So if you think about it from a commerce website, so say for example you're like a bookstore online or something like that. One could be a web test of people logging in. Mm-hmm. Another web test could be people buying a book. Another
aborting the shopping cart.
Aborting the shopping cart or browsing, you know, various different sort of things and all that kind of stuff. So you can have multiple different sort of scenarios as part of your web test. And the reason why that's important is because you may actually want to mimic your production load.
Makes sense.
Right? Because you probably have some good statistics and telemetry as to, you know, what user behavior is going on within your application. If you don't, you should look at things such as Application Insights, which is part of Microsoft Azure. But
and we also have a previous breakpoint episode
on
that one.
We certainly do. So you can take a look at that. So we'll leave it at that. Now, the first thing, we're going to make this a very simple web test, or a very simple load test. We're only going to use one web test as part of this. So as you can see here, this web test that we created, we're just going to record something to it. So we're going to add a recording. So I click on Add Recording, and I got to enable my test manager here. So just go to Manage Add-ons, and the Microsoft Test Recorder, enable it. that's fine. Close it. So let's try that again. Stop that.
Now this the add-on that you just are adding in, is that a Internet Explorer thing only?
There we go. Yes. So sorry, I was just focused on this. Just making sure.
Had to read. Yeah. Can't multitask. Yeah. Gotcha.
So currently, yes. Now I know where you're going with this, right? It's a question of
Did I say it was a simple question?
No, it's Internet Explorer, but you know, we are, like, Internet Explorer is still alive and well, but it's right. Sort of backwards looking in a way. It's basically for backwards compatibility.
Right.
Edge is our browser going forward. Obviously, there's competitors like Chrome and Safari and things
Firefox.
Like that. Firefox, Opera, whatever. Just because you're recording your web test here within Internet Explorer doesn't mean you can't use other browsers as part of your load test, for example, okay? So anyways, we're just going to record. And now, for example, I'm going to go to that website that I started up, so the QA website. Okay, there we go. And I'm just going to do a very, very simple one. So you can see here, it's not December 10, 2000.
I was going to say, I'm like, your computer does know that it's not December 10.
Yes, so this
right?
was actually part of I digress, but basically it was a deployment demo that I did. So deploying code, and I basically said when I deployed the code, it would happen to be December 10, 2015 at 3:05 p.m. in that case.
So in theory, we could actually run a web test to check whether that is actually the correct date.
You could.
Just saying.
You could. So, for example here, I'm going to make this a very simple one, but say it's more, it's bigger than say, for example, the ping test that I just did in the browser, for example, before from Visual Studio Team Services. So I'm going to go to the About screen, and we're going to go to the Contact screen, and then we'll go back to here. Okay, so very, very simple test, but it can be as involved. You can do login, all that kind of stuff. We're going to stop this. And as you can see now, it's actually gotten all of the links that we had, as well as the validation rule stuff. Now what it's doing is detecting dynamic parameters. So if you had anything around you, like the dynamic information, so login information or something like that, it would create stubs so that allows you to incorporate, say, for example, data retrieval from a database or from a data file, for example.
Makes sense.
If you have a list of usernames and passwords from a dev test perspective.
Yeah, or if you have a scenario where you're updating your shopping cart and you want to change quantity from 1 to 2.
Yep, exactly.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, so there you go. So it didn't detect any, which is good because we didn't actually do any login or any sort of data entry. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to right-click on the project, and we're going to create a load test. So I'm going to go right-click, and you'll see here Add. And what we want to do is we want to add a load test. So click on Load Test, and it's actually going to create this wizard. So you can see here, for example, we have an option, and I'll make this a little bit bigger so everybody can see it, is we can do things. For example, and this is what we're going to do, load test using Visual Studio Team services here. Okay. Or you can do an on-premises load test. So you have the choice from here. It makes it really, really simple as to determine, you know, like which way you want to do it.
For sure.
We're going to do things in the cloud because I said that I didn't want to create a test rig on-premises. Like my laptop is, great as this laptop is.
But it can only do so much.
Yeah, you know, yes. I can't create a test rig necessarily with it. Although I could probably create a small one, but it's not really important for here. So what we're going to do now is I've already sort of signed into my Visual Studio Team Services account, so there you go. So we're going to do that and click on Next. And the first thing it asks me is, where do you want to actually have your load from? So similar to what we have with the Visual Studio Team Services account when I was doing the load test from the browser, you can see here that all these data centers are there as well. So again, do the East US for my load. Click on Next. And now basically we're going to say, okay, well, how long do you actually want this to be? So we're going to run this for 1 minute, and we're going to say, for example, just sampling rate of 15 seconds, that's fine, and we'll click on OK for this, okay? And you can name it the load test scenario, so you may have multiple different sort of scenarios associated with this. So in this case, we'll just leave it as scenario one. And here you can see, for example, there's a few things that you can do. So you can basically say, use the recorded think times that I used when I actually did my clicking through, for example. So it actually does record that if that's what you want. Or you can let Visual Studios decide, you know, what is the average time in between clicks that a typical user would do. So we'll just leave it at that.
All the more way that it's actually automating the process of someone actually doing it.
Right? Yeah. Or if you just want to hammer the website, for example, you can just, you know, don't use think signs. So then boom, 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 right? Okay, so we'll just leave it as that.
And imagine if we actually all thought that way.
Yeah. That would be a little bit scary. So in this case, next thing I need to do is actually decide how much user load that I actually want to put. So I'm going to say we're going to do a user load of 250 virtual users, okay, over that 1 minute.
Right. So this is literally 250 users connecting in at the exact same time.
Well, doing that load over time.
Right.
And things like that. Yeah. Now, this is one way you can do it. You can also do it and do a step load. Say, okay, well, we're going to start at, say, for you, it's kind of tough to see because it's grayed out, but, 10 virtual users, start off with that. Every 10 seconds, add 10 virtual users until you reach a maximum of 200 virtual users total. Yep. So you can do that as well. Yep. We'll just do it at a constant load. It's just easier for this test. Now, if you were using more than one web test as part of your load test, this is where your test mix would come into play. So you may have some statistics that say, hey, most of the users are actually doing browsing on my bookstore online, for example. So we're going to say 60% of the load test will be focused on that.
Interesting.
So you can do that. We only have the one web test, so it doesn't really matter in this case. So we'll just leave it as is. We're going to add that web test. Double click on it. Okay, click OK. And as you can see here, the distribution is 100% because it's only the one web test that we have. But you can, again, set it up however you want. Now, your question about browsers.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so this is where it comes in next. So you can see here that right now it's saying that Internet Explorer is the browser that we're going to be using. Say I want to add a few. So I'm going to add a few here. So I have IE9. So let's actually change that to IE10 because maybe that's more indicative of what my production user load is. We'll say, for example, Chrome 2. And instead of Firefox 2, we'll add, say, for example, Safari for iPhone, and then Firefox 3. So you can actually mimic the browser sort of traffic that you have on production as well, which is nice.
Well, not only nice, but it's actually, like, necessary, right? Especially because, let's be honest, I mean, as much as we want to believe that all browsers act the same and whatever, the truth is that they don't.
Yep.
And so not only is it nice to have in that you have the ability to track all these different ones, but, like, literally do yourself a favor and test for all the browsers.
Exactly, right? So we're going to do that. And, in fact, we're going to change the distribution. Maybe mobile is more important to you. So you say, for example, 54% is that, and IE10 is like that, and Chrome is like that. So you have, you know, 2% of Firefox, and then Chrome is 13%, Internet Explorer 10 is 31%, and 54% is iPhone.
Right.
Okay, say, for example, that's it. Click on Finish. So it's actually set up the profile, and you can see here, for example, the load test, all the details of it are here, for example. You can see all the various different components, including location, including location, including the browser mix, and a few other things as well. So it's all there for you, and you can modify those after the fact if you want to, or right now, but we're just going to leave it as is. And now you see here, for example, there's this run load test. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to click on this, and we're actually going to run it. So now you can see what's happening is it's connected to my Visual Studio instance. So that's good, the Team Services instance, I should say. So it's connected to my cloud account. And what it's doing now is it's queued and it's acquiring the resources, which means that it's actually spinning up the test rig automatically on my behalf.
Yep.
So that it can push out that 250 virtual user load over that 1 minute that we're going to do it to that website.
So, and now, technically, we know this is running up in the cloud, because if you switch back over into the portal, you'll see the same status as you see here, correct?
Exactly. So let's actually go to the portal and see something, because you can see here, for example, it's actually running my test. I'm surprised.
I think that's the other test.
Is it? No, it's the same one. So, I know why. Because the fact of the matter is it's running the test because it needed to acquire the resources first, right? So to create the virtual user load. So that's why it's doing it. So it's almost done the virtual user test. So you can see all the data that's coming back.
Now, keep in mind, like what you're seeing here is live data.
Yeah, it's
like
live.
This is actual stuff happening, not
exactly.
First of all, not fabricated data, that's for sure.
No, yeah.
But it's what I love about the portal as it's doing these load tests is that it's actually spinning the data back at you literally as the test is running. So you're not sitting there having to think about, it's easy when it's a 1 minute test, but mm-hmm. like let's say it's a 25 minute test. To sit there for 25 minutes and be like, is it working? Is it not working? I don't know, blah, blah, blah. Here, you're literally getting the data seconds after it's actually happening.
Exactly, right? So you can see there's, in the load test that we did within the portal before, now we get all the summary information. So it's funny, it just worked out timing-wise that way, which is kind of funny. So you can see all the various different sort of information as well around it. So this is good. I can take a look at all my load tests, but also you can see here your question about your statement about saying that you can see that there was a load test that we just spun up in Visual Studio. You can see that it's actually, right, I don't know what happened there. You can see basically this run ID 70, that's the one that we just did. The QA load test is the one that we did in the browser just before, so you can see it finished. So it's actually running and we're going and we're going to get that set up. So that's all good, right? So now you have all this information. I can also look back, so I can double click on this to get the information back. So that's the one we just ran, for example. If I want to take a look at this one that I ran for 5 minutes on 500 virtual users, you can see all the various different information. There's more data points, obviously, because obviously we ran it for longer. So you can see that there's all those types of things. So it's all maintained and measured for you, and you keep it and everything else like that, which is kind of nice. So let's see how this is running. Load test. So it's acquiring the resources, and it might take a little while for it to do it. Depends on, for example, how long, how many other people are doing load tests as well. So there is that to keep in mind as well. So if this is a concern to you for actually acquiring the resources, maybe you can do things on-prem. Most customers that I talk to, that's less of an issue for them.
And it's relatively quickly.
It's like 10 minutes.
I think the most I've ever had to wait for resources to acquire were maybe half an hour.
Yeah. And I think that I've never actually seen it that much.
It must have really been like a crazy busy day. But that's the beauty of it. I mean, yes, it's shared resources. There's nothing that you can do about it. But hey, if you work that into the planning, then you can actually have that work to your advantage, because then obviously things are cheaper and better and less to organize and so on and so forth. So
exactly. So
yeah.
While we let that run,
yes,
let's get in the coded UI.
Let's.
So that we're not waiting on
switching
that.
Switching gears.
Yeah. So we'll come back to that. Remind me to go back if we
I will remind you.
Yeah. So what we're going to do now is talk about coded UI. Now, if you're not familiar with coded UI, this is a capability that's included in Visual Studio Enterprise for 2015. Or if you're using 2013 and below, it's basically in premium. Okay. So basically, if you have premium or above or enterprise, then you have this capability.
Yep.
And the intent behind it is, if you want to automate some of your navigation and you know, making sure this the page structures and everything else like that is working properly, this is a automated test capability that allows you to do that. So it's very easy to create a coded UI test. Go to File, New Project, as you might expect. And as you can see here, within the test area, we have a coded UI test project. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about this because before we actually create it, because I think it's important. This coded UI test project that you see here will support web-based tests, for example, so web pages doing coded UI on web, as well as desktop applications as they pertain to, say, for example, WPF applications.
Okay.
Now, if you're doing something with a mobile application, such as a Windows Phone or Windows application, Windows meaning the Windows Store applications, if you click on Windows, for example, and you see, for example, Universal, you can see that we have, let me just do this so it's easier to see. As you can see here, we have coded UI tests for Windows Phone and coded UI tests for Windows.
Yeah. So before you go all like, whoa, there isn't that option. It just happens to be that the template is located somewhere else in Visual Studio.
Yeah. So just be aware that if you ever, by the way, this is something that's helpful as well, is the fact that you can do a search for installed templates, right?
That's true.
If you go coded UI here, you can see all the ones that come back across, including Visual Basic, C Sharp, as well as the Windows Phone
everything.
As well. So
everything.
Yeah. So we'll go back to the test because we're just going to do a traditional one. By the way, some questions do sometimes pop up around, well, what if I'm doing cross-platform mobile development, right? So if I'm doing, you know, iOS or Android and Windows, for example. Well, the Windows component is covered by Microsoft,
Okay. But
if you happen to be using a framework from a company called Xamarin, if you're not familiar with it, it's basically for creating cross-platform native applications using C-sharp. So for Android, iOS, as well as the, you know, all the, those various different sort of devices on those platforms.
Which, by the way, we've also done an episode.
We have with Mark Arteaga from Runbit.
Even though there's tons of new stuff for that.
Yes, we got to do a new one. Yeah,
we should.
Let's do it. All right, so getting back to this. So no, I agree, though. I think we should. Yeah. The reason why I bring that up is Xamarin's actually included a coded UI test for their framework as well.
Perfect.
But you do need a Xamarin license to make that work, so just be aware of that. But there's lots of goodness there, right? So
lots
of
people
do all that. So anyways, like I said, we're just going to create a typical coded UI project, and I'm going to click on OK. And again, you can add this to source control so that, you know, as your solution evolves over time, your tests can evolve over time, and it's version controlled with your solution.
I mean, it's a project asset, so
exactly.
There should be absolutely no reason as to why it's not in source control.
Yeah, you know, testing should be absolutely part of your process, and that includes obviously versioning your tests and things like that as well.
Right.
So we're just going to click on OK, even though we just said you should version it, just for the sake of
for
simplicity.
For the purposes of this demo.
Yeah, we're just going to leave it out. So here we
do
are.
Do not try this at home, folks.
Yeah, or try it. Just make sure that you do it the right way when we... When you actually
Fair
do
enough.
With your project. So what's happening now is it's actually creating the template. Now it's going to actually pop up with a box, which just popped up. So you can see here that there's some different options with the coded UI test. So you can basically do things like, say, for example, record actions, edit a UI map, or add assertions. We'll talk about that. Okay. There's three options for creating a coded UI test, even though it only looks like two. The second one is use an existing action recording. Okay. And that's the one we're going to start with. Okay. So basically...
Okay.
If you remember, if you've watched our manual testing episode a little while ago, or if you click on the link, you may notice that in a manual test, you can actually record it. And the recording isn't necessarily creating a screen recording of it, like a video. It's actually recording the steps, right?
Yep.
So go here. And it's actually recording the URLs and all that kind of stuff. Well, when you record that manual test, you can leverage that manual test and create a coded UI test from those recordings, which is kind of cool.
Yes.
Right?
So that's
what we're going
to do. Saves you the work of having to do it twice.
That's right. The other one, like the record actions, is basically if you want to create one without using the existing action recording, we'll show that to you next. And then the third one, which doesn't show up, it's actually if you click on this cancel button, it's basically you're going to do a coded UI test 100% from code. Okay? Which in some cases might be helpful, right?
I mean, that's a lot of extra work.
Depends on what you need to do, right? So we give you the scenarios that you know, like different scenarios require different things. If you're doing a lot
enough.
Of customizations, you can do that. But we'll talk a little bit about the first two, not so much on the third one, just to show you for a second. So we're going to use an existing action recording. Click on OK. Okay. So here, for example, we're connected to my project within my Visual Studio Team Services account. And I can actually get this from, say, for example, a query from IDs or a title contained. So if I click on, for example, queries, actually, you know what? I'm going to go directly from an ID. So I happen to know that there was a test case within Visual Studio Team Services within this project that I actually did an action recording for. And the ID for that test case that I created an action recording for was 326. So I just happen to know that. So it's just easier to get.
I just happened to memorize
ID.
Yeah,
that's the way it is. So click on Find. And you'll see here, for example, it says, OK, navigate through site tab.
Yep.
OK, so that's basically my test case. If you want, we can show it to you afterwards if you want. It's basically a set of manual steps. Very, very simple test, right? Now I click on OK. OK, just wait for it.
Wait for it.
Okay, so now it's actually done something here. So let's actually go to the Solution Explorer and show you something here. Actually, we're in codeanduitest.cs here. Let's see. Okay, so by default, it actually brings up this codeanduitest1.cs, which is basically the main code file for this project, for example. Now you can see here that there's a number of different things. So basically, if you remember this, the name of my manual test that I was, you know, navigate through the site tabs. So you can see here, for example, I say click on About tab, click on Contact tab, and click on Home tab.
Yeah.
So it actually created a method for each of these clicks.
Yep.
So
and that's where that customization was coming in that you were talking about before.
Well, you can add more if you want, for example, right?
So or change variables.
You got it, right?
So, makes sense.
So it's all there. So the reason why this is interesting, and I'll actually run this in a second, but the reason why this is really interesting is that it's extremely, extremely extensible. Or extendable, whatever you want to call it. But so the
pretty sure it's both.
Yeah, it could be depending on how you want it. The reason why I say that is, say for example, you need to access usernames and logins and things like that from a data store from a dev and test perspective, or you need to whatever it is that you need to extend to, for example, or if you need to log results of doing something, you could basically do that within the code as well. Yeah. This is a .NET project.
Yeah. Or I got a good one for you. How about resetting database parameters?
Yeah, if you want to. You can do anything, right? So, you know, technically you could actually invoke a PowerShell script and set up an environment if you wanted to from it, too. I don't know if that's necessarily something that you might want to do, but it's something
from a UI test.
Well, yeah, exactly, right?
But load tests, maybe.
Yeah, exactly, right? So all these things, it's very extensible that way, right? So let's actually run this. Before I run it, let me show it to you here. So if I go to the UI map, so there's a few things that are associated with this. Let me just expand this out. It makes it a little easier to see. So there's a few things that are included. So this coded UI test is what you saw in the code there. And these things here that you see are basically the assets in a more visual or more detailed way. So the UI map.cs and the designer.cs are basically ways that allow you to determine exactly what's going on within this test. So let's actually double click on the UI map.ui test. And you can see here that there's a number of different things. Now, it's a little tough to see, so I'll make this a little bit larger so we can see it. So you can see, for example, we have the click on About tab, and it's basically the action is clicking on the About link and click on the Contact link and click on the Home link. You can see all the various different sort of document object model sort of things here, like UI, it's not the DOM, but you know they're mapped to the DOM in this case because it happens to be a web page that we're going to and things like that. So you can see that. If I go to the designer, for example, you can see all the various different information around this. Let's make this a little bit bigger so we can see this. So you can see, for example, what we've done is on the click the About tab, so all the various different methods that were generated are in the designer.cs. So here, for example, you can see all the variables that are necessary, so it gives you all the variables. The mouse click on the About tab, for example, and a new point. In this case, we happen to do it by X and Y coordinate positions, for example. You can also see, for example, the same idea on Contact tab and then click on the Home tab. And again, you can add different sort of code and whatever else that you need to as well as part of this if you need to. So that's all well and good. Now we're going to build it. Okay, so by building it, it'll actually create this as a test. It's not going to run the test yet. It's just going to build it. And I actually have my test explorer up on the left-hand side here. And when it actually is finally built and succeeded, there you go. So it's actually set up this coded UI test right here, the test method one. Now, it hasn't been run yet. So if I want to, I just right-click and I say run selected test. And we'll let this run. Hopefully, it won't take too long for it to set up. Basically, what's going to happen now, it's actually
right
brought
away.
Up. May take a little while for it to spin up. Sometimes it takes a little while for it to actually do the things. But it should basically go to the About tab, to the Contact tab, and back to the Home tab through this. So don't know. We'll see. We'll see how far it goes. We'll just wait for just a couple seconds while we'll see. If not, then it may show up later as we go through. But oh, there you go. So that's the first home one. Now it's going to go to... Oh, actually, it should be done now because I clicked on the home. No, it's still running. Okay. So anyways, we'll let it run. And
now, this is simulated, right? So it's not like we're expecting the mouse to move.
It actually does, which is kind of cool. Like, it'll show you where it goes.
Oh, there it is.
Okay. There you go. So it passed.
Boom.
So it's sometimes really fast and you can't see it. The first time you run it, sometimes it takes a little while for it to actually...
Oh, because everything needs to build underneath.
Well, yeah, and just the way it is. In this case, it actually ran fine, which is good, right? Now...
Measured 45 seconds, too.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's what it was, you know, it took that long for it to start running and things. So the other thing that's interesting is now what we're going to do is we're going to create a new project. Okay, so that was basically from a coded UI, from a existing action recording.
Yeah.
So I'm going to create a new one, file new project, and we're going to go do another coded UI test. Okay, click on OK. In this case, we're just going to record directly ourselves.
Okay.
Okay, so the record first actions, edit UI mapper, add assertions. So click on this. Okay. So now what you see at the very bottom here, right there, is you can see that it created this UI map coded UI test builder. And you see here, for example, there's a record button, which we'll click. There's basically the show the steps that's actually been taken so far, for example. There's this target symbol, which is basically to target a control to add what's called an assertion. We'll talk a little bit about that. And then this one is actually generating the code based on the actions that you recorded, for example. So we'll just click on record just to get this going. Okay, so now it's recording. See, it's now saying if you want to pause it. You can see, for example, show the recorded steps. Right now we don't have any, right? So we'll just leave that be. So now I'm going to go, in this case, we'll do the same sort of test, but in this case, so for example, I'll click on the about.
Okay. So it captured that. I saw it flicker.
There you go. See, click on the address box. We'll just click on exit there just so we have that. Click on contact, and then click on home. Okay. Now we're going to pause this. Okay. Okay. So now if you take a look at this, we're going to generate the code. And this will generate this code within a method, and we'll just call it recorded method one. Actually, you know what? We'll call this breakpoint demo. Okay. We'll add and generate. Okay. And now what I can do is you see here, for example, this target is that because we're paused, I can add what's called an assertion. Now, assertion is basically determining if it's all well and good to say, okay, well, you want to navigate through the structure, and that's good for a regression test and to make sure your navigation works properly. Okay. What if you want to get smarter about that, right? So what if you want to make sure that, for example, the date is on the page or something like that?
Or it is the right date.
It is the right date or whatever, right? Those types of things. Or you could say, for example, the background RGB value color, is it, you know, the shade of purple that we need or whatever it is that we need, for example? All sorts of things. Or is this button on the screen or is it grayed out or whatever it is, right? So all these things that, you know, as a manual tester, you would notice, say, hey, you know, the shade of the purple isn't right or this button is grayed out and it should be, you know, whatever.
It's all the visual stuff.
Yeah.
Or right? The human stuff, we'll call
the
it.
The cues or whatever you want to call it, right? Yeah, those types of things. So what I can do is I just click on this and I drag it. And assuming it, it takes a little while for it to, let's actually go here and see if I can get this. Let's go to the About tab. Sometimes it's a little bit finicky. We'll just leave it like that.
Well, at the end of the day, it is going through the DOM of the page underneath.
Yeah, exactly, right? So it's actually done that. And you can see, for example, that you know we're in the div tag in the Jumbotron. I can add an assertion. So this is basically determining, for example, is this div equal to whatever? And, you know, for example, I could say are not equal to the comparison value of the div. And I could say, for example, blah, just see. And message on failure, you could say, for example, div not properly defined. Okay. Defined. Click on OK. And we'll basically exit this. Okay. Generate the code for that. The assert method. Okay. So we create that. We'll just call it assert method, add and generate. Okay. Now we're going to exit this. So when we exit it, it actually brings us back here. So let's take a look at this. You'll see, for example, the breakpoint demo and the assert method are right here, for example. You can take a look further in there. Now, what's interesting is if I want to add more, I can actually right-click on create a new line, right-click on this, for example, and I could say, for example, just wait for it, let me see, generate code for UI tests. So I can actually create more code for and record more code if I wanted to using the test code builder, or I can actually add a existing action recording, say, for example, from Visual Studio Team Services.
Makes sense.
If I was using the same thing, I could do that kind of stuff, which is kind of nice, right? We'll leave it as is. Now let's actually build this. Okay. And now this one, we haven't run it yet, so we're going to run it now. So run selected test. And assuming everything works properly, this will actually show a failure because that assert method, I'm saying that the div is not actually equal to that. So let's see here. Again, we may have to wait. So let's actually let this go, and hopefully we can get back to it and get the information. In the meantime, let's go to our load test and see what happens. So you can see here, for example, the load test that we ran with all those various different things. It gives you all the information. So everything
there's
from
data.
Processor time.
Oh, now we're back to our test. Hold on.
See?
Coming back.
There we go. There you go. And it failed.
Boom.
So let's see. Let's see what happened. Hopefully it failed on what I thought it was going to fail. Okay, let's see here.
Address combo control.
Yeah. Not sure that was it. I think maybe it was just because I was running with the other stuff. I probably should have waited. But anyways.
That's what happens when you're not patient, Paul.
I know. But anyways, it would show, for example, that error because I basically said that the div was not equal to that whatever.
So. Right.
Okay. So we'll let that go. But in the meantime, we'll just take a look at this load test. And you can see, for example, all sorts of metrics here. The load was 250 virtual users over that single minute. Average response time, so it actually went really, really nice and went down to zero response time, for example. Well, close to it anyways.
Sure.
Within the load test. You can get other information, such as your throughput. There you go, right? So you can see all the throughput, you know, tests per second. By the end of it, we were running, what was it here? 9 or 10 tests per second, which is pretty good. And any sort of application, I don't have any application counters, so if you needed to have some custom counters as part of this as well, go for it. You can have that set up as well. So that's basically it. We'll let that go for now. But in the meantime, let's actually just get back to the final page.
There we go.
And let's talk about that. So, I mean, this was just like 45 minutes or so of talking about some of the capabilities. You can go super deep on both those different types of automated tests if you want to. But you know, it's really up to you as to what you want. If you want more detailed look into some of these things, we can get deeper in this. I just thought that this would be a good overview session that sort of matched online with the manual testing session that we had done earlier.
Well, and the beauty of it is, too, is that as you're playing around with the particular testing capabilities and stuff like that, ultimately, I mean, you've heard Paul and I say this before, the best way to learn this stuff is to actually go in and do it, play with it on, I'm going to say real life scenarios. Real life may actually be whether it's on some test applications that you're working on to learn the stuff, or whether it's actual applications that you're working on. You know, just create a secondary copy so you're not messing with your production code. But there's no better way to learn these things than to actually do it yourself.
Yep.
Right? And you saw as Paul was walking through it, a lot of it is guided, a lot of it is wizard based, a lot of it is really done for you. You just kind of have to know what you're testing.
Yeah.
And actually, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was that same episode of Breakpoint that we went into that whole big thing about why you should test.
Yeah, it was actually a good memory, yeah.
Right? And then we were also talking about why manual testing is important.
Yeah.
Let's talk about also then, let's have the same conversation about why automated testing is important.
You can't do everything yourself.
Right.
Right. And manual testers, you know,
all the power to you, but
No, it's nothing to do with that. It's actually the fact that, you know, manual testers are extremely valuable resources within the team. So doing the trivial things, such as, you know, going through step by step by step by step, like those types of things, you know, regression testing and things like that, that should be automated, right? Your testers, I've said this before and I'll say it every time I talk about testing, your testers know your solution or your system better than anybody.
Exactly.
Better than the users, better than the developers, better than the architects, better than the business owners. They know it because they know the good, the bad, and the ugly of it. Get them focused on the high value scenarios that require that manual testing. Let automated testing take care of the more, commoditized capabilities of testing, right? So like, you know, does a shopping cart, can actually buy something, you know, Yeah, okay. But what about some of the nuances around yep. shopping cart stuff? Yep. Maybe that's where the manual tester comes in and things
or,
like that.
Or another way to think about it is potentially just my favorite word, scale.
Yeah.
Right? Like there's only so many manual testers or so many testers available on a particular project, mm-hmm. You know, that can do things manually. And ultimately, as your application grows and as you continue to build and add on more, there's just going to be more testing.
You got it.
Right? So that doesn't necessarily mean, like, you'll ultimately get to a point where you're like, wow, like, I don't even have enough testers to go around to make sure that we have test coverage for all of the code that we need. So that is where automated tests come in. So really, similar to what we were talking about in that previous episode, really take the time to think about how you design your testing for your application.
A testing strategy is so important, and it shouldn't be an afterthought. It should be absolutely part of
exactly.
the planning.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So as much of it as planning, but, and that's actually what we were talking about in the previous episode.
Yep.
Yes, it has to be part of planning.
Yes.
But now that we've gone through both manual testing and now automated testing, really take the time to sit down together, developer and tester, and say, okay, what can we do automated and what can we do manual,
Agreed.
Right? You know, and again, we had that conversation in the previous episode of what you should do manual and what you should not. Now the question is what you should do manual, what you should do automated, and what you should actually just do ad hoc or potentially not test at all.
Exploratory testing is a good example of that ad hoc component, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It was in my mind. I was searching for the word. I'm like,
yep.
I know we talked about it.
Yeah, we did. We
Exploratory
did.
Exploratory testing. Yep. See previous episodes so that you don't have a brain fart like I just did.
I think that's a term that we use an awful lot in this
I know.
Series, which is cool. Yeah,
it is what it is. Point being, work through your testing strategy.
Yes.
Right. You have it. You now have the tools to do it.
Yep.
So there's no real reason why you shouldn't.
I agree.
Simple as that. So we'd love to actually know what you guys are using automated testing for. So after you've watched this movie, or I was going to say movie, I'm thinking, damn, Paul, you and I could write do a movie. After you've watched this episode.
Worst box office ever.
Now he's throwing me off.
Yes.
Try that again. After you've watched this episode, or actually while you're watching this episode, if you happen to think of some way that you're already doing automated testing, or somehow Paul and I have inspired you to automate some sort of testing, share that back with us. We'd love to know. Also,
yep.
the other people who are watching the episode would also love to know, because that will give them ideas as well.
Yep. Absolutely.
And on top of that, of course, feel free to tweet at us. BreakpointCA is the hashtag. CDN Devs. With an S at the end, is the Twitter handle.
Yep.
Either directly to us, P. LaBerge or J. Rosenblatt.
Yep.
Or if you're not the Twitter type, Facebook always does the exact same lovely thing of communicating
Absolutely.
Back to us.
Yes.
Facebook.com/MicrosoftDeveloper.Canada. Don't forget, but it's going to redirect you anyway. until then, we'd love to hear from you. That's how we get to know what we're going to actually talk about in the next episode. So make sure we hear back from you. Until then, thanks for tuning in.